You're at the Coaching Inn, 3D Coaching's virtual pub, where we enjoy conversations with people who are engaged in the world of coaching.
Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of the Coaching Inn. I'm Claire Pedrick, and today my guest is back for the third time. What I love about today's guest is that the first time he came on the podcast, we didn't know each other. And now we're friends. What a deep joy that is. So welcome, Robbie Swale.
Yeah, it's lovely to be back and to be speaking to you in this way again. Of course, we've spoken in a few ways, including on my show, and just like, you know, as normal people who aren't recording their conversations. We've done that sometimes now. But well, I was just listening back a little bit this morning. I was driving back from dropping off my 3-year-old at nursery and was listening to a little bit of our last conversation when we were planning to meet up in person. So I hadn't really realized that if you chart the course of our friendship, that the second appearance, that we'd done three podcast interviews before we met in person. And now
really?
We've met more, I think now we've met more in person than we have on podcasts, although.
I think we have. Yeah, we've even had a real coffee in a real coffee shop.
We did. I had a very risky, it would turn out okay in the end, a very, very risky 4 p.m. Caffeinated coffee, which was, or three, but it turned out okay. So I'm sure you're delighted to know the ending of that coffee story.
Very delighted to know. And there will be more walks, which is a great thing. So which bit of you are we talking about today, Robbie?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. So we can talk about whatever comes up, and I'm always perfect with that. But it was interesting, like, because I reached out originally. We had one scheduled in for October or for November last year. And then it's funny listening back again. The last time we spoke, one of my goals for last, you asked me about my goals for 2023. And I gave a kind of interesting answer because that was where I was. But one of the things that I did mention was to go on an actual holiday. And I hadn't really tied this up. But actually, the reason I had to cancel when we were due to speak a few months ago was because it was pretty much the only thing in that week that was the magical week of a holiday, and it was a really important time for us. The reason I reached out then was basically because I was doing some thinking about my work for coaches, and I realized I'd appeared on your show twice and not really talked about it. And in some ways, that thinking has been crystallizing over the last 6 months in some new ways. And I realized there's just I didn't want to. What shall I say? It just felt important sometimes to go, okay, I do have something interesting to say here. I wonder what we'll make of it if me and Claire think about it together. Something like that. How does that sound?
Yeah, it sounds great. And our Business Builder for Coaches episodes are really popular because that's a really important thing.
It is. And that's part of it, really. Like part of the reason that I have a part of my work, which is these days, as you know, centered around the brand, The Coach's Journey. And so people can find that at thecoachesjourney.com. And it is, on a surface level, it is about supporting coaches with building their businesses. Of course, we could talk about how it's really about much more than that. But that's really important to me because I really believe in coaching, as I know you do. And one of the things that, you know, one of the, things that slows the power of coaching from having greater impact is that it's hard to run a coaching business for a lot of people. Maybe not for everybody, but certainly although my results in some ways have been good in my coaching business. I have to be a bit careful about that because I'm really aware that a thing that I really don't like is the kind of way that people mysteriously talk about the success of their coaching business in slightly veiled ways. Like, what does having a six-figure business mean? Like, really, does it definitely mean, for example, I had this thought once, does it definitely mean earn £100,000 in a year? And I have never earned £100,000 a year from my coaching, I should say that. But I always just want to be really careful about that kind of stuff. I also used to get annoyed with my colleagues who live in Canada or Australia, you know, because it's like, well, if they have a six-figure business, that's a really different thing to UK, someone in the UK having a six-figure business. Anyway, that's a little aside. But it can be hard to run a coaching business.
Yeah.
And if we're not careful, we lose loads of amazing coaches to the coaching industry. I don't think the coaching industry is like ready to do that yet. In the future, like I really love people, you know, like you. We had Julie Starr on The Coach's Journey recently. You know, people who do a lot of work with organizations, empowering people in organizations to use coaching skills, and that's important. But I don't think we're full up with coaches yet, in kind of independent coaches. So it's really important to help those people make their businesses successful so that they just, and one of the reasons we might talk about it today is so that they just last long enough that their business starts feeding itself and then it's sustaining.
Exactly.
And so you've got to get people through that rocky period. And that's one of the reasons that I, despite having some second thoughts about it over the years, I'm still doing work supporting coaches in their businesses like years after I accidentally started doing it.
Yeah, and for the benefit of the listeners, if you're part of my coaching supervision community on Patreon, you need to know that that was dreamt up on a walk with Robbie, who generously shared, didn't you, your model from the coach's journey, and then I tweaked it, and then we talked about it, and then we just had a few ponders on walks, didn't we? And now
Yeah.
it's doing really brilliantly, and I'm super grateful for you for doing this. So you really do know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, that's, it's so fun. I love it. I mean, from the conversations we've had, well, even in fact, listeners will even know, not just you, that I love it when people just make cool things happen. And any part
Yeah.
I play in that is always, I always want to slow down and celebrate and enjoy that. Because, yeah, we just got to have a conversation and you said, how does that thing that you're doing work? And I don't know how I originally came across Patreon, but, and it's, there are things with that platform that I find a bit annoying,
Oh, yes.
but it is really effective at creating this kind of thing that that I created and you've created with which allows a really flexible involvement. So the way I work with coaches these days, or, which has evolved and it was created a little bit for me as like an innovation when the reason that I don't know if you know this, the reason the Coaches Journey community started, which is the most flexible way that I've ever worked with clients. They get to choose when they start and stop, which I love. And if you think about empowering clients and just following them, it's fantastic. It's a little bit nervy when you suddenly someone just disappears off your monthly income or whatever, but without you necessarily knowing what's going on. But it partly was an innovation because I used to run a kind of fixed term group program that started in March every year and finished in September. And I used to do the enrollment in January, and that worked well. It was pretty tiring to enroll a group program, but it worked really well unless you were having a baby in January, in which and then taking a month off, in which case it didn't work at all. And so the community was created essentially to solve that problem. But it's a lovely way of working. Like it's been running for about what, 3 and a bit years now in that way, and it's evolved, and the membership's evolved, and there are people that have been in it who have never met each other, of course, over that time. There are some people who know pretty much everybody who's been in it, and I just love all of those people and those relationships in different ways.
And you inspired me on that one as well, because that filler group thing is a real issue, I think, for coaches. So I started for groups that I'm running for people who want to become artful coaches who are really experienced. I started a group which said, you start when you arrive and you stay as long as you like. Only
Yeah, how did that?
I made
Go
a
on.
mistake on numbers. It's been so successful, that one's full, and they're not leaving. So I've started another one.
Yeah, but there you go. But that's what a different experience that is, I imagine. Because what used to happen with the Coach's Journey group program was it just required this enormous amount of energy from me to get it to get, any, I needed, I was up for running it with two, but to get anywhere between 2 and 8 people to say yes at the same time for something that
Absolutely.
costs more than a few £100 is really draining. And the
So I've had
difference is
somebody,
amazing.
yeah, and I've had somebody now say yes, and I've said to myself, well, I have to start on the group then, because the first group is full. And I can say, yes, we're going to start on this date, because it doesn't matter if we haven't got anyone else, because the conversation you and I had said, if there's one person, it's group.
Right. And that's the way to build. If we, again, if we're doing principles of business building, it's a really powerful one, isn't it? Like make it so that you succeed whatever happens. If you can do that, if it's like, is it joyful to run a to do some work with this one person, if that's the only person that signed up? If it's not, don't work in this way. If it is, like an amazing way to work. And yeah, it's like I always feel a little bit like I accidentally ended up doing work supporting coaches with their businesses. I didn't necessarily set out to do it, but I basically wrote an article when I was after about 2 years of coaching business about how I'd got to full time and the kind of principles of that. And people loved that article. It's still probably the most read thing that I've written. You can find it in a few places now. It's on LinkedIn and thecoachesjourney.com and robbieswale.com and various other places. But what's interesting is that plus doing this work plus learning from some other people who have done the path as well. So that idea that you borrowed from me, I borrowed from Rich Litvin, who wrote The Prosperous Coach with Steve Chandler, and who I was part of one of his group programs for a while when I was setting up my first group program. I remember I was like freaking out because I only had two people, and I was like, "What do I do? This is this even a group?" And Rich was, he just said a beautiful thing. He was like, "But Robbie, imagine if you'd signed up for this program, and you'd got like, 2 weeks before, we'd emailed you and said, there's just going to be you, one other person, and Rich for 6 months. Would you have been delighted or crushed by that?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, that would have been wonderful, wouldn't it?" And so it's like you just get to that place with it if you can. And obviously, it's easy to do that when I'm full of energy, and harder when the business is hard and all that kind of thing, where, you can be full of possibility about any outcome in a business and running a group program. And that one person will love the period where it's just the two of you. And then somebody else will join, and the three of you will realize that that's lovely. And then it'll probably carry on like that.
And it's so liberating, isn't it? So, on our last walk, and when we were sitting on that bench, looking out over the valley, you told me about the thinking that you've been doing from the Good to Great book. And I know you've thought some more since then.
So I'd love to share this, and I'd love to share it for a few reasons. I think one is, I think I've done some thinking that is really clear about a coaching business, and I always want to test that thinking. And in some ways, the story of this thing that I'm going to talk about now, which I'm calling the coaching business flywheel, in some ways that's evolved, and I'll tell a little story about that in a sec, by realizing the flaw in the thinking. So if you or anyone else spots a flaw in this thinking, like, I'd love to hear it, because that's how this stuff evolves. And I gotta say, sharing it again, I do have that little, like, I have that, who am I to share this? So I always have to remind myself. In fact, I've got it down here. I'll show you. I don't know if you shared a video. This is like my little, who am I? I have to write at the top of a bit of paper before I do this to remind myself, like, no, wait, I am somebody who has something to say about this. There is an actual answer to who am I to do this. And it's, somebody who's learned from the masters, somebody who has been doing this, even accidentally working with coaches on their businesses since 2018, someone who has interviewed people on my show about their businesses since 2019. So this is my way of reminding myself, okay, yeah, this thinking does have something to base it on. But I also think, and you'll like this, it's the part of me that studied maths is really interested in this as well, because I got excited about this when I realized it might be kind of, I don't know, I can't quite remember the maths, but like a dual equivalence. So it's like it might be not only things that help you grow your coaching business, like that you if you do these things, you almost can't help but have a successful coaching business, but also the only things that you actually have to do to have a coaching business. And to know that feels really important. And so whenever I, the maths part of me, whenever I see something that feels a bit like that, it reminds me of those key kind of moves in maths where it's like, oh, there's an actual truth here. So, but there's some uncertainty in that, so let's test it. So essentially what happened was, I was listening to an interview with Jim Collins, who wrote the book Good to Great. And in his book, Good to Great, he talks about a concept, the flywheel. And there's also a short book, quite expensive, like 12 quid for like a 100 pages or less, I can't remember, but it's got an incredible idea in it, which is the idea of the flywheel. Now, I am not enough of an engineer to be sh exactly, I'm trusting Jim Collins on his descriptions of what a flywheel is. Essentially, it's a, as I understand it, I've done a little bit of looking it up, it's an engineering thing, it's a really heavy wheel, and essentially it stores momentum for you in some way. So the idea is it's really hard to get going, but once you get it going, it requires very little effort to keep it spinning faster and faster and faster. In fact, you keep putting in exactly the same amount of effort and it just keeps accelerating.
Wow.
So we might think in a, so the kind of the key contribution of Jim Collins in that book. So what, for those that don't know, as I understand it, he and his team, they were interested in companies that went from the companies that went from good to great, right? It's in the title of his famous book. What is it that made that difference? What were they doing? And one of the things is they understood their flywheels for their businesses. So what are the things that you keep pushing at the same amount, but it just speeds up and speeds up and speeds up. And to give an example, this is not particularly to endorse Amazon, but it's just a company that everyone knows. And he gives that example of the Amazon flywheel in his book. And so let me just run that to get the concept of the flywheel, which is essentially, Amazon might think, if we get lower prices on more offerings, then we almost can't help but, and that's the kind of the language, the key language of the flywheel, we almost can't help but have more customers visit the website. And that makes sense, right? If it's cheaper, you, again, you're just likely to get, someone's going to talk to their friend, more people are going to arrive. If you get more customers coming, you almost can't help but have more third-party sellers on the website. So I guess that's for those of you us who remember the early days of Amazon. It was weird at first. There was this stuff that was Amazon Marketplace and stuff that wasn't. It was hard to tell the difference, but that was one of their key innovations. Excuse me. Then if you do that, you almost can't help but have a bigger store, a bigger shop, more products, and more distribution. And if you do that, you almost can't help, and this is the only bit of business talk in the Amazon flywheel, you almost can't help but grow revenues over fixed costs. So your costs stay the same, but you've got more revenues because you've got other people absorbing the fixed costs, selling their stuff on your site, you're gaining a little bit extra money. Now, if you have a little bit of extra revenue per fixed costs, you can afford to have lower prices on more offerings. And then suddenly we're back to the first part of the flywheel, which is going to increase customer visits, which is going to have more third-party sellers, more store, more distribution, higher revenues per fixed cost, and then suddenly back to more lower prices on offering. So you get this kind of virtuous circle. And then if you think about Amazon, you can think about all the innovations they've done. You know, what happens if you pay, I can't remember how much it is now, like 100, it was originally like 90 quid a year, wasn't it? It's probably 150 now for free delivery on everything. Once you get people into that, you know, we're in that, like, you can't help but increase customer visits. And if you're doing that, and suddenly you're just pumping energy into this flywheel. And if you, it, you know, you can think about in a business sense, you can think about the cost of Prime almost being nothing if you know that in the end, I mean, it probably is nothing. I'm sure they make more money out of us than the money we pay for Prime membership. But if you think about it in the long term, about speeding up that flywheel and growing it, it's like an incredibly good investment. So I then got super excited listening to this. I was like, I wonder what the flywheel for the coaching business is. And what was interesting was I realized I already knew a flywheel for the coaching business, which was from The Prosperous Coach, which is the Rich Litvin Steve Chandler book. And in that, they talk about, you know, a process for growing a coaching business. And they talk about, you know, well, the framework they have is, you know, you connect with more people, you invite people into coaching conversations, you create powerful coaching experiences for people, and then you make proposals. Like, it costs £X to work with me for whatever. And if you do enough of that, like, what I realized was that those four fit into a flywheel. So if you connect with enough people, you almost can't help but, in some ways, invite some of them into coaching conversations if you have a practice of that. If you invite enough people into coaching conversations, you almost can't help but accidentally sometimes create powerful experiences for them. If you do enough of that, you almost can't help but make some proposals. And if you do enough of that, you almost can't help but work with clients. And if you work with clients and you do good work, you almost can't help but connect with more people because people refer people to you. And then for about a year, I thought, that's it. I've cracked the coaching business flywheel. And I got excited because I thought also maybe these are actually the only, like I said, the only things you have to do until we get maths again. We get proof by, is it called proof by exception? I can't quite remember. Until I'm sitting with one of my clients at an in-person workshop last year. And I'm teaching the coaching business flywheel to this workshop. And I realized that it doesn't, like, I'm completely wrong because I didn't do any of these things with this guy. Because he had come, we had connected independently of me, like, he had come across my work. So there is a connect piece there that had happened. But I hadn't invited him into a coaching conversation. I hadn't directly, as far as I could, I hadn't created a powerful coaching experience for him, and I hadn't made a proposal to him. So I was like, oh no, so something's wrong about this. How do we, is it possible to boil it down to what I thought I'd found through the Prosperous Coach, which is the actual only things you have to do? And that got me to a new definition of the coaching business flywheel, which I can either go to, or you could say something because I've been talking quite a lot for quite a while.
I just love watching you think, Robbie. And I love what I love the most is that it's always iterating. That's a mathematical word, isn't it? So from that first walk, I can remember exactly where we were when you said to me about the coach's journey, and I think I might tweak this and I think I might tweak that. There's something about seeing business development as an experiment, isn't there? And we take what we know probably works. You can't help but probably this will happen, and then see what happens, and be willing for it not to completely fully work the first time. We've
In
just
fact,
redesigned our supervision community, so we launched it, and we launched it probably about 3 days before Patreon put a free tier in all their communities. So we knew what we wanted it to look like. We were really confident in what we were offering. We offered a taster tier at the which was the bottom level where you got a bit. And then they put in a free tier. And then lots of people signed up for the free tier, but we didn't know what we were going to give the free tier because we didn't plan to have a free tier. So 3 months in, Rebby and I sit down and we go, actually, what do we really want this to look like? You know, what's it actually for? And what it is now looks really different from what you and I talked about on that first walk and from what we offered people at the beginning. And it's much better. And people get more exposure to me. And it's more doable. So, but you've got to hold loose. You've got to hold tight and loose to the idea, haven't you? You've got to go, we think this idea is going to really work. And then you've also got to say, and we've got to be really open to the fact that it might need quite significant tweaking on the way. And I'm sure it will need more again.
It's a really good point, and it's yeah, as a little aside, it's funny that I actually haven't redesigned the Coach's Journey community yet in the way that I was talking about, but it's coming. It might, in fact, by the time this episode comes out, it probably will have been redesigned. But the key thing in there, Claire, is you couldn't have known. I mean, even if you'd known about the free Patreon tier coming in, you wouldn't have known everything else you now know about the supervision community and how it works until you've done it. And it is really important to do that. And I think, you know, co as coaches, we can often get really wrapped up in I need to have certain stuff set up at the start. I need to know who I work with. I need to know how I work. You know, I need to know anything really. And the truth is, you know, you don't. Essentially, one of the great things about this business is you will always be iterating. We will all always be iterating our coaching business, partly because if we're working in the spirit of the coach, then we're going to be matching whatever we're doing to the person in front of us anyway. So we're never going to deliver the same products, no matter how much we think it is the same twice. But also because the beauty of the business is you get a chance to redesign it between every single client if you want to. You know, you get to try something new with somebody, and you don't have to tell them about it, and you can. So I've been saying it quite a lot at the moment, a little bit inspired by you and a little bit inspired by somebody else. You know, I want to run some, I mean, actually there's kind of two ideas. There's some retreats, there's some walking retreats in the Malverns was one, and I've got another one. I want to run some like quarterly sessions, like half day, maybe full day, like a bit like a business quarterly meeting with clients where you know, review the last quarter, set goals for the next quarter, set up KPIs, and of course do deep insight creation in it as well. And at the moment, I just keep mentioning that to people, telling them, I've got this idea for a thing. At some point, someone's going to say, that's a cool idea. I'd love to do that. And they'll either say, let's do it in the Malverns, or I won't combine those ideas, and it'll be, yeah, they'll be based in France or something, and we'll do it online, you know. But you get a chance to iterate, and maybe I'll love doing those sessions, and I'll like bringing in the kind of maths brain going, okay, how do we measure this? How do we measure this? Or maybe I'll hate it, and I'll just run it once, and that'll be the only time. And I've had bits in my business things that I just ran once, and I've had things, you know, like the Coach's Journey, which was a group program. It was an experiment. The first people knew that they paid a bit less than I knew I was going to charge the next year if I ran it again, because they knew it was the first time I'd run it, and they loved being the first people in it. And the Coach's Journey community now looks almost, in some ways, nothing like that, apart from the very core of it, which is group coaching, with a group of coaches, you know. But it's all built on that and on iteration, and it is a really important principle. And for me, I guess it also gets me out of all the ways I get stuck, right? So it's like if I can get into the mindset of the experiment, then everything is easier because I'm not under pressure to speech marks get it right.
And it's an experiment.
Yeah, it is always, and that, you know, some of it is a way to trick myself, and but it's also true, you know. I need to remind myself of it, but it's also true, and it's a bit like me saying I want help if I've got this wrong, right? That both allows me the freedom to talk about a fresh idea without feeling the huge pressure of getting it right, and it helps me improve it because if you or one of your listeners says, "Oh yeah, but wait a sec, this bit doesn't make sense," or "What about these other people? They're not doing that," then suddenly we get new thinking. And much as like the little scared parts of me hate the idea of being wrong in front of lots of people, the higher parts of me know that that's really what we all always want, right? Because if we're trying to get to the truth and we're trying to actually have great ideas, then we want to develop those ideas.
I did a webinar the other day with the EMCC about the human behind the coach, and they have a bit in it. So you talk about your book, and then they have a critical friend. So three people talk about what they would like to see different in your book, which is kind of interesting and slightly scary. And I was really glad that I didn't know that was going to happen before it did actually happen. Anyway, one of them really challenged the title, and in such a brilliant way. It was so useful. And I've got it in my, because I write all over my books. So I've written all over it what she said, because it's something to really think about.
And I guess it sounds like you were in a, she handled that really well, and you were in an open space to receive it, which is amazing. Well done
Well,
on that.
you've got to be, haven't you?
Well, you got to try.
Yeah,
But
you've
it's
got
not
to try
necessarily
to
like, I guess
be.
what I'm saying is well done for managing that. You know,
Oh,
I guess
thank you.
rationally we usually know that the right thing to do is listen, not get upset, and slip into the parts of, you know, because there are parts of, as I understand it, parts of our nervous system or states of our nervous system that mean it's essentially impossible for us to learn if we slip into threat states. And you know, having three people be speech marks critical friends, which sounds like business talk for critical, and you know, having that is the kind of thing that I think would move a lot of people into threat. So well done for staying in the social engagement states and being able to hear
It really helped that they said they loved it before they said
that.
anything else.
And that's really important as well, right? Because it's like,
I remember this group last time when Simplifying Coaching was published. I remember they you listen to the feedback. So you send the book out to three reviewers, and the reviewers are there in the webinar. It's a really good model, but it is high stakes, because it's the only place I've ever been where almost they get to speak first. And, you know, in an interview, as much as you're at the beck and call of the interview, you've also got some control over where it goes. Whereas in that, you know, it's live, and you have to listen to people talking about your stuff.
And then we have to, well, I guess, and this is what we're talking about, right? Then you have to get separate to your stuff, right? Like, you know, remember that your stuff isn't you, and be able to, you know, get to that place where there's two of you. Well, in this case, four of you, it sounds like, looking at the book and going, okay, there's some, I made this or I made part of this, but what, you know, what do we think about it now? And the, you know, it's funny, I've been doing a little bit of, been back to one of my books in the last week or two for a couple of reasons. And it's like, oh, yeah, this was made by me, a combination of like 8 and 4 years ago in some ways. And like, that's, it's different. I would do it slightly, I would probably say some of these things slightly differently now, but it is what it is.
Exactly. But interestingly, as you if you build on that, Robbie, looking at a book together with three other people is a lot less scary than looking at coaching together, because the book is something outside of me. I can hold it, I can pick it up, it's over there. Whereas coaching, that's much higher stakes, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. That's a great point. And but I guess this is the key thing, isn't it? Like, if you can't, and it's hard, you know, I've sat in supervision calls when I've been being supervised, and or we've watched, listened to me coach, or what, listened to a recording, you know, and it's like I'm always like, you know, veering a little between the triggered tight feeling in my chest and the listening, and sometimes faking the listening, to be quite honest. And later getting to the listening, you know, it's like writing, still writing down the stuff, rationally knowing, but not really listening at that point, and then absorbing later. Because it is a, yeah, it is high stakes.
But if we don't get someone else to look at it with us, somebody's still looking at it. So the thinker is still observing how we are in the room.
Well, and you know, I don't think this is too much of a stretch. You know, it's like, also, if we're never looking at it, it's an opportunity to improve something that we're never doing. And we could say the same about our coaching business, right? It's like, if we never slow down to look at that and how we're doing things and try to understand it more, then there's just a huge opportunity lost.
You're describing looking, and I think looking, which is what you're describing with the flywheel, because the thing about looking at the flywheel is that you can know what you do, and you can look at the flywheel, and you can see where the connections and the disconnections are, because you can see it in the same way as looking at coaching is different from taking a notebook. I bought myself a reflecting signing pen. Very nice ink. Lovely. Very happy. But it's very easy to be seduced by my beautiful notebook and my lovely pen and go off and do some reflection, which is really important. But when I do reflection, I can't see, because I can't see what I did. And I'm not looking. And we need to look, right?
Well, and I guess I was reading somebody the other day saying all models are wrong, you know, and they're useful. And, you know, like,
I shared that from someone else.
Oh, was that you? Was that you? I was going to say, was it you?
And then
I
thought it wasn't me. It wasn't
you shared
me.
It on LinkedIn. What was the, do you remember what the rest of the quote? It was like, all models are wrong, but something, or and something. I don't know if we can remember it.
All models are wrong and some are useful. Somebody sent it to me as a direct message and she said, you're going to absolutely love this post. and then I asked her to share it. Yeah, so she, here we are. But the good thing about her sharing it with me directly is that I can find it. Paul Byrne, all models are wrong, but oh no. We're back to mathematics.
Ah, nice.
Paul Byrne is the person who posted it on LinkedIn, but the person who wrote it was George Box, a British statistician who famously said in 1976, all models are wrong, but some are useful. His idea was that we should focus more on the practical application of a concept in everyday life rather than endlessly debating its universal correctness, which is what we're talking about.
It is so good, isn't it? And also, like, so it for me is really that problem that we run into when we're trying to start a coaching business, many of us, which is trying to work out the exact correct way of doing it rather than just getting on and doing some stuff and iterating and knowing that we'll learn and we'll work out our niche later and we'll work out how we work later and we'll borrow and steal and adapt stuff from everybody. And yeah, the reason that I'm not remotely, you know, protective of the way that I work and was totally happy to share it with you is partly because you could just find it out by looking on my website, but also because that's how I've made up how I run my coaching business, by borrowing it off everyone. So I'm aware I haven't finished telling the flywheel story, and it feels like an unsneezed sneeze for me
so
at the
sneeze.
Moment that needs doing. So I'm going to sneeze. Let me sneeze it out now. Oh, I'm not sure this metaphor is a useful thing for people to hear. By the way, if people want to visualize this, there's an image of it. Alex Swallow, our mutual podcast friend, said he wanted this to look more like a flywheel, the image of it, but it doesn't yet. It's just a little diagram, but you can go to thecoachesjourney.com and there's a button near the top now and click the coaching business flywheel if people want to look at this while we're talking about it.
Cool.
So essentially I slowed down to finish the story. I then had this guy who was like proof by exception on the Prosperous Coach. It's like, this is not the only way to do it because I haven't done it. And he's a client now paying me money here with me in person, right in front of my eyes. I haven't invited, I haven't proposed in the way that I was thinking. So what's been going on? Well, he'd become a client because he'd listened to the Coach's Journey podcast. And then that had been so impactful that he'd been interested when at the end of the show or at the start of the show one time, I said, there's a way you can work with me and support the podcast by joining the community. And then he'd signed up. I mean, sometimes people email me at that stage to like ask about it, but he just signed up. And so that got me interested. It's like, well, can I use him and what I know about the Prosperous Coach and what I've seen over all these years to create a flywheel that feels like it's complete? And I think that these are things, but again, this is where there may be, and anyone who's got an exception to this, I'd love to hear it because we get to clarify that thinking and make the model slightly less wrong, albeit always still wrong. So I do think you do have
right
to connect
enough.
With people. Right enough. You do have to connect with people. Otherwise, I think it is impossible to have any coaching clients. Like, you don't have to connect with them by going to a networking event, but if there's no way for people to connect with you and vice versa, it's basically impossible. And then I think there has to be at some point, a point where you offer people the opportunity to experience you more. And that was what the podcast was doing in that place. But it's also what inviting people into a coaching business does. And I should say, as an aside, I think that what they really did in the Prosperous Coach is create like the most direct way to do all parts of building a coaching business. So no messing around, right? The best possible opportunity for somebody to experience you more that makes it the most likely that they will buy coaching is they have been coached by you. It's to just go straight to that. But it's not the only way you can do that. So offer people opportunities to experience you more is the second part of the flywheel. If you connect with enough people, you almost can't help but offer them opportunities to experience you more, even if it's just another coffee, right? Like you're doing that. If you do enough of that, I think you almost can't help but help people create insight. I think that's one of the things on the flywheel. I think it's really hard to imagine somebody buying coaching from somebody who has never created, helped them create any insight or move forward on whatever it is they're facing in the slightest. You know, and if you're doing a 15-minute chemistry call and you're just asking people, like, where are they? Like, what's up with their life? And that's what you do for 15 minutes. Chances are the people who buy stuff from you have taken an insight from that, because if you've listened to them really well, then you'll have done that. Similarly, this client of mine had listened to the show and he'd got insight from that, and that was of value. Similarly, if you're doing the Prosperous Coach, if you just coach somebody at that point, create a powerful experience, then again, you're helping them create insight. If you help people create insight, you it's not quite true, but it's like you almost can't help but tell people how you work, how much it costs, and how to pay you. Because if you create enough insight for people, in the end, they're going to ask.
Yeah.
So you almost can't help but do it anyway. And if you, obviously, one of the ways to, not necessarily obviously, but one of the ways to speed this up is to do each of these things more actively. So I was, by this point, trying to be active. It was in my podcast episodes. So it's like create insight and tell people how you work and how much it costs and how to pay you. And then if you do that enough, you almost can't help but work with clients. And if you do that, you almost can't help but connect with more people. But also, it's important to say, if you're helping people create insight, that's probably connecting you with more people anyway. Because if my client, and even the people, like I don't know actually, I should ask him how he came across the podcast. Probably he came across it because somebody else had had insight created from it, and they then told him how to do it. Now, what I hope for the flywheel is, so let me do it. I'll do it again really quickly. So it's connect with people. And if you do that, you almost can't help but offer people opportunities to experience you more. If you do that enough, you almost can't help but help people create insight. If you do that enough, you almost can't help but tell people how you work, how much it costs, and how to pay you. And if you do that enough, you almost can't help but work with clients. And then you, and if you do that enough, you almost can't help but have referrals and connect with people. And there are two reasons why I think it's important to do this thinking. One is the one you described, right? It helps people do clearer thinking, I hope, about their coaching business. And that's important for the reasons that we talked about at the start of this, that it's just important that we don't lose coaches in the first, you know, 1 to 5 years of growing their business because it's hard and they're putting their energy into the wrong places, you know, or they're not putting energy into stuff that is anywhere on this flywheel. And if you're not doing that, if your energy is going anywhere that isn't on the flywheel, you're not helping growing your coaching business. And
Because this
you
is
know,
all about people.
right, none of it's
None of
about,
this is
yeah,
about
process.
sitting in the back office thinking about stuff.
It isn't, right? And that's a really important thing. And so I think it gets people to the stuff that actually matters, which, if we go back to my previous experiences on the show where we're talking 12-minute method, is like, how do we stop procrastinating and do the actual thing? And that's again what I loved about the Prosperous Coach personally, which kind of helped so much with this thinking, is they stopped me doing a load of stuff that wasn't helping and got into this stuff, which, like you said, is all about people. The other thing I realized as I was looking at this a couple of weeks ago is there's so much stuff being sold for coaches about how to grow a coaching business. And I'm aware that I am one of the people doing that selling, right? And it always makes me, I always think about that quite carefully. But what I think this kind of thing does is it will help coaches really slow down and think, okay, if I'm going to buy this thing that someone is trying to sell me about growing my coaching business, how does it help me? Which of these things does it help with? If it doesn't help with any of these things, really don't buy it. If it does help with one of these things, then it's ch a chance to really slow down and say, well, look, if it's going to cost me £4,000 to do this, to get this branding consultant to help me do this thing, is that the best way? And that is gonna, you know, if we think about that, that's gonna help me connect with people more because I'll be able to speak about my work better. And when people land on my website, they're more likely to connect with me. Is that the most effective way for me to spend £4,000 to help me connect with people? It might be, or it might not be. And I don't know the answer to that. But again, if we think back to models, like hopefully this will help people do that thinking when they're gonna make the investment. Now,
So,
what do
even if
you?
it's only sense checking, it's a
Right.
really useful thing. I don't know. Since Christmas, I have three or four every single day that seem to get straight into my inbox. And it's just really annoying.
It is. It is. We talked a little bit last time, and I made a joke about Duolingo adverts and how they're always trying to sell me, six easy steps to get 60 high ticket clients in my funnel in the next 6 days or whatever. And I think that in a way, the important thing to say about the flywheel is it is the thing that I was talking about last time. It is like five quite simple but hard to do steps to grow like a, well, all I know about is how to grow a five-figure coaching business over about, 2 years. And it's not a quick fix, although, like I was talking about a bit last time, with the podcast challenge, sometimes extraordinary levels of action get extraordinary results. And the flywheel for me also gives a chance for, if you want to pour energy into your coaching business, if you want to be the hare, we were talking about tortoise and hare last time as well, for a short period of time. The hare is unsustainable in the long term, but if you've got a 3 month period where your life circumstances, mean, or your business circumstances mean you've got a lot of time to put into business development, like at least put it in somewhere with high leverage. Interestingly for me, when I've slowed down, and it's interesting, since I've done this thinking, it's like the coaches in my community have loved it. Like they've really bitten on it, and I'm seeing them get great results. Like once the flywheel thinking was there, for me it made sense. Why do I think that, for me it was always it was invitations. It's like offer the opportunities for people to experience you more. That's the most, for me, the most direct way for people to put energy into their coaching business. If you can find a way to make it a creative and exciting process, sending out offering chances for people to be coached by you, it's a key part of the flywheel, and it's just for me the most impactful way to do it. And it gets you coaching, which is one of the things when you're stuck in the coaching business feels the hardest. Like if you're not coaching, the times when I have not been coaching in my coaching business, which haven't been that often, but like when I went, like when I first, is this right? Yeah, when I moved from full-time work to part-time work to make space for my coaching business. And at the point where I first had 2 days a week, I had no clients.
Wow.
That's a tough time, because then the flywheel's not, feels like it's not moving. It's not quite true, but the movement of the flywheel is tiny. And it feels like putting the effort in doesn't get it moving very fast, very quickly, which is true. But as soon as I started coaching, I felt a lot better. And
We
so,
need to connect, don't we? It's all about
absolutely.
connection.
Absolutely
So,
do.
Robbie,
Yeah.
if people want opportunities to experience you more,
Yeah, well, there's a lot of those now. And look, this is like, it's worth saying as a little aside that creating a body of work is a really slow way to build a coaching business, but it is a, it can, but it is a, it does help with the flywheel. So there are lots of ways to experience me more now. You can read my books, you can read like hundreds of blogs, not quite thousands like you, and you can listen to the Coach's Journey podcast. If you like those things, or you want to just come along, in fact, recently as we're posting this, as we're recording this, so a little while ago, by the time you hear this, I recorded like I got some members of the Coach's Journey community together and recorded a call, which is now on YouTube and on the Coach's Journey website on the community page. So you can watch like a Coach's Journey call to find out what working with me is like, or 4 times a year we have a Coach's Journey call, which is available to the memberships, which cost very little. So they're like £20. I think by the time people listen to this, it'll be £20. I'm just playing with, like we said before about the model. So 4 times a year, March. Wait, when is it? March, June, September, November. You
Wow.
can come to a Coach's Journey call for £20, and if you don't like it, that's perfect with me. Just don't come back. And if you like it, you can come back, or you can cancel because sometimes people do. So those are lots of ways to experience me more. Loads of stuff for coaches at thecoachesjourney.com, videos, articles, the podcasts, all the stuff we've mentioned, flywheel picture. And I'm pretty sure that by the time this comes out, there'll also be a free ebook with a kind of intro to the coach's journey, to the coaching business flywheel, with some of the story we've got and a little bit more too.
Fantastic. And if people know about you already and like what they see, how can they help you connect with other people?
That's a lovely question. I mean, it's just share this thing, really, I think. So it's like share the podcast if you've loved the podcast, if you listen to that, or sh if you know coaches, share the flywheel. If there's anything that if there's anything that people find that is incorrect, like I want to know that thinking so that the next iteration of it can be better. But basically share the things with people you think it would be useful. or come along to a call.
Well, and if you want to experience me more, sign up to the Supervision community entirely inspired by Robbie Swale, patreon.com Claire Pedrick. The silver level will mean that you can come along to a supervision with me 10 times a year and bring something twice a year. And if you've loved this podcast, please share it with one other person, because wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah, that is how it works, though, isn't it? It's like people think that it works some other way, but really, that's how this all works. At least the businesses that we do. And at least there's probably something to say here, like the other great thing about building a business in a way that's all about people, in the way that we've talked about, and the way that you've just talked about with the podcast, is it's great. It feels great. And it's, for me, like a meaningful, honorable, soul-based way to build a business. And so you could pay for thousands of leads for your coaching business, and that's not necessarily the wrong thing to do, but for me it's just a little bit less about my soul than connecting with people is.
Thank you, Robbie. You and I had a chat and then shared on LinkedIn that we have a little idea about a thing with another one person. And the other one person has said yes, but when, so that's good news. So at some point this year, team, every listeners, there will be a three-way something coming to you from the Malvern Hills. But that's all I can say right now. Thank you for listening, everybody. Have a great day. Thank you for coming, Robbie.
It's been a pleasure.
And I'm sure you'll be back.
I'm sure too.
Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
If you've enjoyed what you've heard today, we'd love you to share the podcast with a friend or leave a comment on social media. And if you'd like to become a regular at the Coaching Inn, you can subscribe on Podbean and all major podcast channels. We look forward to welcoming you next time. You've been listening to The Coaching Inn, 3D Coaching's virtual pub. For more information, check out 3dcoaching.com.